We rise. The text which forms the basis for our sermon today comes from the book of Psalms, the longest psalm in all of the Bible. Psalm 119, we read verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from him in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In his name, dear fellow redeemed. There's a form of Hebrew poetry we call parallelism. We find it throughout the Psalms and in the book of Proverbs also. In Hebrew parallelism, two phrases will be set alongside each other in order to build off one another. They'll be set in sequence or parallel to one another in the thoughts that they're expressed. We find it in our text. It is a useful structure for worship settings, especially when the people of Israel would gather, that they might sing the teachings and wonders of God responsively. So also we've used it in our service today, in the intro, reading responsively those parallel thoughts and the rhythm that expresses our faith and God's truths. Notice how it comes to us in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Do you see how there's two thoughts being expressed that are related to one another? The second is further explaining the first. The psalmist loves the Lord's instruction. How? It is his meditation all day long. That is, he loves God's word so much that he would give it his constant consideration all day long. It's quite a statement. So as you note the parallelism throughout the verses, or as you're reading the Psalms on your own, you can see how the psalmist is thinking and how he's expanding his thoughts. Notice how broad it is. He loves the Lord's law, his commandments, his testimonies, his precepts, his word. It's all parallel. Basically, anything that comes from the Lord's mouth is as sweet as honey to his mouth. There is basically one idea here. The psalmist loves the Lord's instruction, and he develops this in a series of phrases, proverbs, psalms. These various expressions build off one another and give us a rich meaning to consider today. I'd like you to think about another kind of parallelism that is going on here, though. There's another kind of parallelism that's more than just a literary device. The psalmist himself is actually expressing a parallelism to God's word. His thoughts, his actions, his desires are all in sequence with what God desires. There is a deeper parallelism, and it happens when our thoughts and actions find themselves in rhythm with what God wants. When this happens, true wisdom is heard and found. True wisdom aligns itself with that perfect appreciation for everything God has to say. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Of course, who among us can say such things? Day to day, how sweet are those words of the Lord's to our lips? They should be as sweet as honey. When we wake up, they should be ready on our mind, on our thoughts, for everything we're going to do in the day to consume us. When we get our coffee ready, when we take off to go to work, when we sit down at our desk, when we work at home, when we're on a lunch break, when we're talking to coworkers, when we return home, when we greet our spouse, when we deal with our children, when we listen to our parents, when we go to church, and when we don't go to church. Day and night, this word should be so sweet that we long for just another taste, like a child who wants to lick the spoon again. Jose was a child who longed for God's word, but today, for Jose, was a busy day. The family had taken time out of the day this Sunday to come to church, to worship. But after the service was over, there were plans to be met. They had to get going. They were supposed to meet up with some relatives for church. And Jose was troubled. He wanted to stay for Sunday school. "Sorry, Jose," Dad said quietly. "If we don't leave now, we'll be late." Dad was a little embarrassed because he saw other adults were making their way to Bible class. "But Dad, I want to stay and I want to learn more about God." "No can do, pal. We need to get going to meet your aunt and uncle, and then we have to get home. Your mother and I have a lot of stuff to get done today. Come on." "But Dad, what could be more important than learning about the Bible? Don't you want to stay at church as long as you can?" "We'll talk about it in the car." And Dad left. Respectfully, Jose followed. You see, Jose was a child who longed to taste that sweet word. Just another taste. Dad was ready to go and move on with his day, but not Jose. He longed to hear a little more, to learn one more Bible passage, to sing one more song about Jesus. Do you see the wisdom? It's not in the grown-up. It's in the little child who wants to be in church or wants to be in Sunday school. It is found in a child, and we might call it wisdom incarnate because it is expressed in the flesh of a small child, in the mind, in the heart of faith, an attitude that is itself wisdom incarnate. But of course, how often is this really our experience? Children typically don't long for the word any more than adults do. How often do you kids want to sit and listen to God's word? For how long can you sit for a home devotion? Or for a Bible study or for a sermon? For any of us, it's hard to sit still in that wooden pew, listening, attentive, not distracted, when all the rest of our week is filled with busyness, with running, with doing, with keeping ourselves distracted, with being entertained, with appointments. More often we're thinking like Dad was. We think, when will this be over? What's next? I have somewhere else I could be and someone else I should be with, something else I could be doing. There's always something that tastes sweeter. Would we leave it up to a child to make their own decision about whether or not to come to church or play? Do we suppose they could handle that responsibility if you gave them that choice with school? As fathers, we are fulfilling the wisdom of God as He has instructed us by bringing our children to church. The tough fact is we don't usually think like the psalmist is thinking. In our thinking, in our life, there's little parallelism between the way we are thinking and the way God is thinking. by nature, it just doesn't come to us. By nature, we're thinking more crookedly. We don't align with the kind of worship that God deserves because there's always somewhere else and there's always something else and there's always someone else. Our taste buds turn. Yet, in the midst of that busyness, in the midst of our inattentiveness, in the midst of our distractions, and in the midst of our sins, wisdom speaks. Right now. It speaks, it thinks, it acts in perfect parallelism to the Word of God. And it is the wisdom of a child, of a boy, of a student, who is so wise that he surpasses the thinking of all of his teachers. There is a wisdom incarnate that speaks perfectly. And it speaks in our text. It is more than we can expect of Hosea. And it's more than we can expect of ourselves. Because this wisdom never ceases to appreciate hearing the Lord's commands. He not only wants to stay for Sunday school, but he wants to stay forever. Forever in the Lord's house, forever about his Father's business. Wisdom appears in the words and actions of Jesus, incarnate, that is, in the flesh. It was his family who left in a hurry. His father and mother rushed off to catch up to the crowd. They assumed he was with the cousins, and later they discovered he was gone. They became distraught. They searched and searched and could not find him. Where would Jesus be? Where could he be? No one was really thinking the way that Jesus was thinking. Not any of us have had such a mind committed to learning the Father's ways, to doing the Father's business, and to being in one place, focused on one thing. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. Such wisdom can only be found in the Father's house, and only in the person of Christ. Who else can express such perfect parallelism with God's word? And he was just 12 years old. He was barely a teenager. A teenager who possessed the sort of attitude that hated every false way, that wanted to be in church not because he had to be, that didn't need to be dragged out of bed by his parents, that didn't hit snooze. He came because he loved his father's words. He didn't try to impress other people. He didn't do it because he was guilty. He was there in the temple asking questions and proving a wisdom in the flesh that was wiser than all his teachers. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Jesus is speaking. Jesus is wisdom. We hear it also in Proverbs 8, where wisdom itself speaks. Proverbs 8, verse 6, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to him who finds knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Listen to how the psalm goes on as it pictures wisdom before the foundation of the world. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. He was from the beginning. And yet, if he possessed that perfect wisdom from eternity, why was he a child? Why was he in the temple? Why was he learning? He was learning because he was earning. He was earning these things for you. His way of wisdom was to become your way of wisdom. He grew for you in the fear of the Lord, just like a human boy. He did this to give you what is lacking. His wisdom is your wisdom. His love for God's instruction is your love for God's instruction. His parallelism has made your crooked ways straight, so that in God's eyes, you're in perfect sync. You're in step with everything God has ever asked because of Christ. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, 'He who glories, let him glory in the Lord.'" Now we can join Jose. Now we can stay just a bit longer and taste how sweet it is. No longer does God's word express some sort of demand for you to be here, for you to do something. Because of Christ, God gives you everything perfect and wise and faithful and righteous, and it's all credited to your account. Now we taste and see that the Lord is good and gracious. And we come, we gather, we pray for just another taste. We open our hearts as God's word drips with the sweetness of the gospel, forgiveness from heaven for all of your sins, encouragement for that lack of devotional life, grace for those many distracted moments, a word which fills us and sets your feet on right paths. Yes, there is a wisdom that exists among us. And it is a wisdom incarnate. It's not just the wisdom in Christ for us, but it's the wisdom of Christ in us. There is a wisdom in the flesh every time you believe, you hear the word, you memorize, you learn, you store away those promises in your heart. It is God's wisdom dwelling in us, in our bodies, in our minds, in everything we do, all by the grace of God. So Paul writes in Colossians 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Only with that word of Christ dwelling in us can we now say, "I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word." For in Jesus, you have restrained your feet from every evil way. God has forgiven you by his death and resurrection. In Jesus, you are forgiven and set free from any constraints. It is a new mindset. It is a new mind. It is the wisdom of Christ, where God accepts our worship, not because we think like Jesus, but because we think of Jesus. It is a sort of poetry, isn't it? A sort of parallelism. When we believe in God and God gives us every perfect thought and attitude that that child Jesus had. Jesus is wisdom incarnate, and by faith, you are too. Amen.